Hi, my name is Felicia, and I am OCBF.
My name is Rena, and I am OCBF.
My name is Darwin, and I am OCBF.
Hi, my name is Tony, and I am OCBF.
This is John, and I am OCBF.
Hey, my name is Jacoby, and I am OCBF.
Hey, y'all, this is Shari, and I am OCBF. And the marketing team is working to serve you and, more importantly, the Lord Jesus Christ.
In just a few minutes, we're going to have an exciting worship service as we show you the hope that God is offering as His treasure in the midst of this trial. See you in just a moment.
I'm Vernon King, Youth Director.
And I'm Cynthia Dixon, OCBF Kids Director.
And we're 6 feet apart.
Thank God.
We miss you.
We love you.
And we can't wait to see you again. But in the meantime, we are still ministering to you through social media,
group text,
newsletter,
and our emails.
And Zoom small group.
Hey everyone, I want to welcome you to our online worship experience, Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. I want to welcome our members, but I want to welcome all of the members of the body of Christ from all over the world who are joining us this Sunday, this Palm Sunday. It's a special Sunday where we get to worship together. I can't wait for you to experience the word from my dad, Dr. Tony Evans, and I am excited even to share in communion with you. So we want you to get communion ready. We want you to get that juice or that water out of your fridge with the crackers or the bread and get that ready so that you can experience communing with God and we can do it together. We also want to get you ready for next week. We know next week is Easter Sunday and we can't be together on Easter Sunday, but that's okay. We're still the body of Christ and we still have a special presentation. We're going to take you on a trip. So you want to invite your friends back online with us next week as we take you on this trip for Easter Sunday. And now I'm excited to worship. Are you ready to worship? We're not going to worship for you. We're going to worship with you. Let's do it right now.
One thing remains. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you know it, we want you to sing along with us.
Trial and the change, this one thing remains. Say, one thing remains.
and I never, ever had to be afraid. It's one thing remains. One thing remains. Shout, your love never fails. It never gives. See, your love never fails. Said it never runs. Beauty of holiness. We love to love you, Father. Say, in death, in life, I'm confident that in heaven, right, I'll be your great. Say this, see my debt was paid. Yes, Lord, separate my heart from your great. Everybody say this with me. Say,
God alone. Father, we give you glory. And we shout that you are God alone. Yeah. If you know it, sing along with us. Say, you are not a God. Right here, say, you are not a God.
God
created by human hand.
You are not a God
dependent. Yes.
Anymore,
you are not a God.
You are not a God in need of
anything.
Anything we can give.
Say,
by your
grace.
That's just.
Say it again. Say, you are not a God.
You are not a God.
God created
by human hand.
You are not a God. Yes, Jesus.
You are not a God in need of
anything.
Anything we can give.
Yes.
By your name.
That's just the way it is. Sing along. See, you are God.
You are God alone.
Say. Father, we give you glory.
You are on your throne.
And you are God.
You are God alone.
Father, we give you glory.
Right now.
In the good times. Say, and you are God alone, Father. Hey, Father, we worship you and we magnify your name. You're the only God whose power is greater than anyone. Say,
See, you're the only God.
None can contend.
You're the only God.
And praise will never end.
You're the only God.
Father, we give you glory.
Sin.
You are God.
And that's just. And
you are
God alone,
Jesus.
And right now,
in the good times,
bad,
you are
on your throne.
You are God,
you
and
are God alone.
You're unchangeable.
Together.
You are on your throne,
you are
Father.
On your throne.
You are God.
You are God alone.
Yeah.
And right now,
in the good times.
We give you glory.
We magnify your holy name.
That's who.
You're unchangeable,
unshakable,
unstoppable.
That's who you are.
We give you glory. We magnify your name, Jesus. We love you. Hallelujah.
Shout your
hands, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord.
We sing to the Father.
All the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great.
To your name, Father, we say, great, great are you, Lord.
Man, Psalm 149 and 150, so precious to me. It says, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praises in the assembly of the faithful. O Israel, rejoice in your maker. O people of Jerusalem, exalt in your king. Praise his name with dancing, accompanied by the tambourine and the harp. For the Lord delights in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let the faithful rejoice that he honors them. Let us sing for joy this morning that we lie down on our beds in peace. Let the praises of God be in our mouths. It is a glorious privilege for the faithful ones to exalt in their God. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in his sanctuary and praise him in the mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise him for his unequaled greatness. Praise him with the blast of the horn. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the tambourine and the dancing. Praise him with the strings and the flutes. Praise him with the loud cymbals and praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything, everywhere, and everybody sing praises to our great God. Praise the Lord. He is worthy to be praised this morning. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. I love that wherever we are, in whatever dynamic you might find yourself this morning, there is still always a reason and a place and a space to praise the name of our great God. Again, welcome to Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship this morning. We're going to worship him in spirit and in truth. We do that the way we just did, through singing, but we also do that in many other ways, in giving. We're going to do that today as well in the Word. My dad, Dr. Tony Evans, has a fresh word from God's Word for you. So stay tuned, because you're not going to want to miss the inspired Rhema word of God that has been planned for you today before the foundation of the world. God already had this day planned on the calendar of your life and the calendar of my life. So I'm excited, as always, about the word of God. Just a couple of announcements that I want to share with you. First of all, for those of you that are members here at our local church in Dallas, Texas, we just want to remind you that our church is flourishing all week long, as we always have. There are so many things that are happening in the body of Christ that you need to know about here locally. So just because we're not gathering together doesn't mean that you can't still be engaged and involved and fully aware of what Oak Cliff is doing to serve the space and the place where God has planted us. Every week you should be getting an email. We want to encourage you to really take seriously checking that email that comes into your inbox, because when you do, you're going to be able to become aware and continue to understand everything that the church has going on, and then you can get involved. One of those ways we're going to show you in just a few moments about what your church did this week to impact the community. So we're going to show it to you in a moment, but we want you to know that every single week you have an opportunity to check that email. Also want to remind you that Easter is coming up next week, and so you have an opportunity to invite people who might not normally check in to a weekly service. Well, next week is the week, you know, where folks who maybe only come to church twice a year, Christmas and Easter, well, Easter's coming up, and we have a special presentation. So invite the people that you know, especially the unchurched. It's going to be an opportunity for them to get to know Jesus in a special way. Something else we wanted to share with you, that the body of Christ has never been about a building. And we know that now, right? More than ever before, that the body of Christ is a community of people that is much more than brick and mortar that's around us. It's about us continuing to fellowship, continuing to serve the body of Christ, continuing to be connected with other people. So we decided that we needed to come up with and inspire you towards five things that you could do with five people over the next 5 days. So we're calling it our five for five. These are five ideas for you of how you can connect with at least five people over the next 5 days, okay? So here they are. The first thing we want to encourage you to do is to correspond with people outside of social media. So consider that. When's the last time, you know, you wrote an actual card to somebody? You know, like snail mail, where they're going to actually take it out of a mailbox and open it up and read words in your actual, for real, literal penmanship? Well, this is an opportunity to kind of unearth that old treasure of writing down your words. Or actually, now you have the time to make a phone call. Don't text them, call somebody. Especially somebody that you know might be isolated, somebody that lives alone. You have no idea how much just hearing your voice or reading your words is going to inspire them. The second thing you can do is keep tithing. Your local church needs you to remain strong. So whatever local church you're planted in, remember you're a part of that body. Don't begin to hoard your tithe. Give to God what he is due. And let's keep the global body of Christ fortified during this hour. Here's the third thing in our five for five. Post positive. What we mean by that is there's enough negativity going around without adding our voices to it. So when you post on social media, Facebook, your Twitter account, Instagram, all that stuff, be the voice of hope. Be the light in the midst of the darkness. Your followers, the people that are connected with you on social media, they need to hear the voice and the promises of God piercing through all the negativity that is on social media. So make it your business to post positive. Here's number four, shop for somebody. Now, you know, when you're in need, oftentimes people will call you and they'll say, if I can do anything for you, call me and let me know. That's not what we're asking you to do here. We're saying, when you go to the grocery store, just double up on a few things and drop that bag off. Drop it off at your neighbor's doorstep or at the elderly couple that's down the street or the widow or widower that lives alone. Just drop it off on their doorstep. Shop for them. Think of them when you're at the grocery store. You have no idea how much of a blessing it is going to be if you don't ask if you can help, but you just help. So shop for somebody, whether online or dropping something off for them this week. Number five, play together. When we say together, we don't just mean with the people that are in your own house. We're talking about folks that live across the country or across the world. For example, my sons used to play checkers with their great-grandfather, my grandfather. He loved checkers, but he lived in Baltimore, we live in Dallas. So they would just get online and play checkers together. Think of someone that you can stay connected with by finding an online game that they can contribute to, and you can contribute to, and you can stay connected with somebody by playing online together. Okay, so come on, all five this week. Let's do your five for five. And as the body of Christ, we can really be the hands and feet of Jesus and minister to other people. And now, before we move on in our service, there's something important that we want you to see. This week, Chris Will and Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship gathered together to serve the community, and we want you to see what happened.
Hello, OCBF family. This is Chris Wild, Executive Director for the Turnaround Agenda. We have been humbled this week by the outpouring of prayers and support to be able to provide food for those in need. Last Friday, we were able to help over 50 seniors in our congregation to be able to get a food box. And then on Monday of this week, we were able to serve over 700 families in the community. 700 families. But we recognize that the need is still there. And we understand that there are those who may not have been able to benefit. So we've partnered with the North Texas Food Bank to be able to provide another opportunity for food distribution. So on April 13th, that's Monday, April 13th, we are going to provide food boxes to over 1,000 families in need. That's right, you heard it, over 1,000 families. But this requires your support. You can help us in three ways. The first way is you can pray. Pray that God will continue to use this ministry to be able to support not only our church family, but those in the community. Secondly, if you want to donate food to our food pantry so that we can continue to help those in need, we're going to ask that you would look at the email that'll be going out to our congregation, and you'll get the contact information below for an actual number and an email that you can be able to reach out to us. And then lastly, if you are one of those individuals that has a food need, we still want to be able to provide support to you. So we're going to ask that you will look at that same email and you'll get the contact information, and then we can have a process that you would be able to come and benefit from our food. OCBF family, we thank you so much for your heart for the community, and we just want to let you know, ministry is not stopping. There are so many things that we are still doing to impact our community that goes far beyond all of the things that we have time to talk about today. But we just want to let you know, you matter and we care. We're blessed to be a blessing. Thank you.
Hey everyone, I'm excited about what I just saw and what you just saw. Having the opportunity to serve 700 families and do ministry and be the church, the body of Christ that God has called us to be, that's exciting. I'm not excited about the mess, but I'm excited about the opportunity that we have to be the body of Christ. I'm also excited about standing in an empty church. That's right, I'm excited about standing in an empty church. And you may be wondering, John, why are you excited about standing in an empty church? Because I believe that God is teaching us that even though it's empty on the inside of the brick and mortar, the church is still very full, because the church is the body of Christ. It's me and you working together and doing and being what God has called us to do and to be. And that's to be givers. That's to go beyond and give our time, our talent, and our treasures. And right now, that's what we're going to continue to do, is be givers. It's time to worship the Lord in giving. And at OCBF, we get excited about that. So if you're visiting and you're not a member, we want you to be just as excited as we get, because the only reason we can give is because He has first given to us. If you're an OCBF member, you know exactly how you can give. You can go to OCBFchurch.org right now, or go to the OCBF app and you can give right now. You can also text OCBF to 797979. Do that right now. Text OCBF to 797979. If you're not a member of the church, we want to make sure that you're tithing to your local church. Wherever you go to church, we want you to keep that church strong. But if you're feeling like, hey, I'm being fed here today and I want to go over and beyond, we welcome you to text OCBF to 797979 so that you can go over and beyond. If you don't go to church or you don't have a local church, we encourage you to get involved with one. But today, since we're feeding you, if God is telling you right now that, hey, I want to give to this ministry so that they can continue to be strong and continue to do the work of the ministry that God has called them to do, you can give right now as well. Text OCBF to 797979 and you can do just that. We know we have another group. We have a group that wants to put a check in the mailbox. And I'm not hating on you. You can put your check in the mailbox and do it that way. And you can just mail it to 1808 West Camp Wisdom Road, Dallas, Texas, 75232. You can mail it right now. Go to 1808. Write that down. 1808 West Camp Wisdom Road, Dallas, Texas, 75232. Give right now. as we bring you to a previous service that we had where our Unity Choir ministered greatly. And we want you to experience it as you consider what God is telling you to give.
Ooh.
Before we get in the Word today, I want to start off by thanking my Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship church family for their hard work in helping us to keep that Word going forth to them, but also beyond them to so many others. I want to thank all the folks who are joining us, who I trust are being blessed by the Word of God coming forth, and our staff, our volunteers, are doing so much to make that happen. I'm so grateful, and I'm grateful for the giving that will allow us to continue the ministry of the Word of God during these difficult days. So I'm just a very grateful person right now. Well, let's get into God's Word and see what He has to say to us today. A man went to his doctor because the doctor just received the test results back. He says, I have some bad news, and then I have some really bad news. What do you want to hear first? The patient said, well, what's the bad news? The doctor said, well, the bad news is I got your test result back, and you only have 24 hours to live. He said, what? Then what's the really bad news? That's when the doctor said, I should have called you yesterday. Sometimes news just goes from bad to worse, doesn't it? That looks like the situation we're in with this challenge that we're facing in our nation. And that is the challenge of bad news becoming really bad news as the virus continues to spread and people's fears continue to grow. But I want you to know there is a treasure in our trial. That as bad as things feel, seem, and the worse it seems to get, I want to give you today some hope. I remember some years ago coming from LaGuardia Airport in New York. My wife Lois was with me and we were coming back to Dallas. We went to the airport, stood in the checkout, the check-in line, the check-in, our luggage, curbside check-in, but the line was not moving. I went up to see what was wrong and the baggage handler said, things aren't going well, we don't have any power. So we're waiting for things to get better. And as we stood there, things didn't get better. They got worse. Finally, as dusk settled in, hours later, they told us that LaGuardia was closing down because on this August 14th date, 2003, we found ourselves in the blackout of that year when a power grid failure in Canada had worked its way down the East Coast and things got dark. No power. Thousands of people were stranded in New York. They were stranded with panic beginning to set in because we'd all checked out of our hotels. We're all trying to go to our places of abode. Well, my assistant said to me over the phone, there's one hotel room left at the Crown Plaza LaGuardia. So we hailed down a taxi. We rushed over there. It's now dark. We walked into a candle-lit hotel because there was no power. We had to register by hand. The computers weren't working. We went up to our room by flashlight. All we could do was hope that tomorrow would be a better day. Well, that's when my wife opened up the blinds to see if she could open up the window because we needed some cool night air in this hot summer heat. And that's when we saw it. Immediately across the street from the Crown Plaza LaGuardia was a Marriott hotel completely lit up. Inquiring minds want to know, how could there be this much light in the midst of this much darkness? No street lights. People had to use candlelights in their home. No power in the hotel we were staying in, but this Marriott hotel was lit up. We decided, well, let's go across the street and find out what's going on. As we got close to the Marriott Hotel, music was playing. People were standing outside eating. There were TVs in the foyer, all on CNN discussing how dark New York had become. I found the assistant manager, and I said, how can you have this much light in the midst of this much darkness? He said, it's real simple. When we built this hotel, we built it with a gas generator, so we have power on the inside that's not dependent upon circumstances on the outside. I know the circumstances right now for all of us don't look too good. and bad news becomes really bad news. And that's why I want to give you a hopeful verse. It's Jeremiah 29:11. God says, I have a plan for you, saith the Lord. He says, it's plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and to give you a hope. I have a plan for you, saith the Lord. Not about calamity. It's about a better tomorrow. Now, the reason why that verse is critical is because it's a great verse in a bad chapter. You see, when you read the chapter, you understand that things weren't going too good. In fact, in verse 4, he tells them that they were in exile because they had departed from God. And so the conditions in which they were living were not pleasant. He goes into economic challenges, family challenges, even religious challenges that the people were facing because of their spiritual departure from God. And so this calamity that they were facing was bad news. But in this bad chapter, I still got a hopeful verse. I have a plan for you, saith the Lord, a plan for your well-being and not your calamity, to give you a future and to give you a hope. But it is not only a bright light in a bad chapter. It's a bright light in a bad chapter located in a pretty negative book. If you're depressed, don't read Jeremiah for devotions. That's not the book you want to read. There's a lot of crying and tears and sadness and judgment because of spiritual departure. Yes, we're in a bad chapter here in our nation and in our lives. We're quarantined. It's a bad chapter. And they keep adding on weeks, don't they? This is becoming a bad book. Week after week, no school, no job, stock market in trouble, this, that, and the other. Bad chapter's becoming a difficult book. But in a bad chapter, located in a bad book, I still have a great verse. I have a plan for you, saith the Lord, a plan for your well-being and not your calamity, to give you a future and to give you a hope. What is hope? Hope is the treasure in your trial. Hope is joyful expectation about the future. Hope means where I'm going is better than where I came from, and it's going to improve where I am. Hope says my tomorrow is going to outpace my yesterday, because hope is always future oriented. When God gets us through this crisis, like he wants us to get through this crisis, then this will become a rearview mirror from which we will learn as we move forward through the windshield of where he wants us to go. Oh, because trust me, God never wastes a trial. And this treasure of hope in the midst of this pandemic is God calling our attention to something deeper than merely the medical, political, financial, physical, and circumstantial. He's calling us to a new place of hope. And sometimes you really don't get the message until things are outside of your control. I like pizza. I like the sauce, I like the pepperoni, I like the sausage, and all the cheese. I like pizza. But if you've ever been to a real pizzeria, you've seen them go through some trials. They take the dough. It looks like abuse to me. They ball it up and slam it down. They take a rolling pin and mash it further. I mean, I want the good stuff. But you really don't get the good stuff on top of the pizza until the dough has been made ready to receive it. See, everybody wants God for the good stuff. But we don't want to be prepared to receive it. So sometimes God allows things to ball up, to roll over us, until we are flattened to the place of spiritual dependency, that we know we need him, because we can't fix it ourselves. Oh, yes, it's a great verse in a bad chapter, in a bad book, but it's full of hope God's treasure in our difficulty, His treasure in our trial, is that this thing we are dealing with and how it's affecting us personally and our families, our work, our nation, our world, is all designed from God's perspective to bring us to a new relationship with Him. Now, how do I know that? Well, He goes on to tell us. We all know Jeremiah 29, 11, but how about verses 12 and 13? Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now you get it? Bad book, bad chapter, great verse, but now a condition. The condition in our trial, if we want the hope of the triumph, is to run after God like we've never run after God before, because He's our best option. And from everything we're seeing, our only option. He's saying, now I want you to run after me. Not just information about me. When you're sick, you don't just need a medical book, you need a doctor. When you're in legal trouble, you don't need a law book, you need a lawyer. When you're surrounded by criminals, you don't need a penal code, you need a policeman or policewoman. In other words, you need the personification of what is written. This is God's book, but He wants you to look for Him. He doesn't just want a religious relationship. He wants an intimate connection. He wants you to pursue me. That's why the word me shows up over and over and over again. He wants to bring you into an experience with Him. He wants this not just to be another religious exercise like we do when we get in trouble and we beg to be released from the trouble, because we don't want Him, we just want relief. No, this is about something much deeper than a virus. The virus we all have, which is separation from Him due to our sin and our refusal to repent and to turn from it to Him. No, He wants a relationship. He wants an intimacy. He wants closeness. God's not interested in a fan club. He's not interested in a dating service. He wants a marriage. He wants a ring on your finger and on His finger, solidifying that we've entered into a serious relationship. You know, when you go for a job, they first of all start with information, because you start with a resume. You send in your resume and you say why you think you qualify for this job. Then they want to see references, what other folks say about you who've gotten to know you. But after the resume and after the time where they talk to the references, now they want an interview. You know why? Because they want to see you face to face. The resume is great. The references are important. But it's that interview. It's when you eyeball the eyeball that things go to another level. God's got a great resume. It's in this book. 66 books of resume. The resume is thick. He's been doing this a long time, by the way. And if you want some references, there's some folk who will testify that what's on the resume is legit. They will testify that this resume works because they have experienced Him for themselves. But you know what this passage is calling for? It's calling for an interview. God says, I want you to seek me, pray for me, pray to me, call on me, cry out to me. I want it to be about me. I don't just want to be an addendum. You go to a restaurant, they first of all show you a menu. The menu gives you what your options are. Sometimes you can get succulent just on the menu. The menu can look so good. You can feel your taste buds getting excited. Then they have somebody to testify about the menu. It's called a waiter or waitress. They'll come and talk about what's on the menu, and they'll even give you personal testimony about what they like on the menu. They'll even make references about what they would suggest for you. But after you've read the menu, after you've heard somebody testify, you don't leave, because you didn't come there to read only. You didn't come there to hear somebody testify. You came there for the experience, because you want to now eat. God wants you to experience him. That's why God became a man in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you could experience him. That's why he wants you to come to faith in Christ for eternal life, and then draw near in your closeness and intimacy with him, so that God becomes an experience and not just a theology or an impersonal belief system. No, this is the time where God has got some great news in a bad situation, because he wants to use this pandemic to drive you, me, and us individually, as families and as a society, to him. He wants to draw us near to him so that we experience him on a whole nother level. He says, I have a plan for you, and it's a great plan. You know, when a woman is in labor, that's a painful situation. But there is a triumph in that trial when that baby comes forth. The labor pain is difficult, but there's good news in the problem. And that is, the more laborious the labor pains become, the more exciting the news that will exit from it. Yep, we're going through. I'm having to do my teaching from my living room, because I've been sequestered from my den. I'm housed as you are, and we should respect the guidelines so that we can bring this to an end as soon as possible. But there's something deeper happening. That is God calling us to draw near to him, from the outhouse to the White House, from the church house to your house. He is calling on you. He's calling on me to experience good news in a bad situation. Hope, his triumph in our trial, so that we can experience something at a whole nother level. Well, you say, what can I expect if I let this trial, this pandemic, this uncertainty, this dilemma, to draw me near to God? Not as an exercise of escape alone, but as a relationship to be developed and cultivated with my Creator through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he tells you in verse 14. He says, and I will be found, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortune. I will restore your fortune. Did you hear that? You're in a bad situation. I still have a plan, but you must look for the planner, not just the plans of the planner. And when you passionately pursue me as a person, based on my word, but you're pursuing the author, not just the book, then I'm going to let you find me. When my kids were growing up, we play hide and seek. And I'd run and hide, and they'd go seeking. I would hide for a while in a way they couldn't locate me. That is, until they got desperate. When they got desperate, Daddy, where are you? Daddy, where are you? I'd make myself, findable. I would make it so they could find me. And you know why I did that? Because I wanted to be wanted. Yep, God wants to be wanted. And he allows trials and difficulties and even pandemics. He's not trying to hurt us. He loves us, but he wants us to love him. And so I want you now to use this to pray for yourself, your family, and certainly those who are hurting due to this terrible, terrible virus. But I want you to use this to draw near to him. God has an impeccable ability to turn messes into miracles. Again, I can't tell enough stories about my late wife, Lois, because so much of my life and ministry has been developed because of her. Her fingerprints are kind of on everything that has happened and will ever happen in the life of Tony Evans. But one of her great qualities was she was a great cook, an awesome cook. On Sundays when the kids were growing up, those were huge meals. Those meals were staggeringly big. Roast, green beans, you know, potatoes, cornbread, sweet tea. She'd bake a 7-Up cake. I mean, it would be crazy eating every single Sunday. But now she was also the Tupperware queen, because after Sunday was over, she wasn't going to do this again on Monday. Now, this is for Sunday. So she put all the leftovers in Tupperware. On Monday, she brought out the leftovers and reconfigured them. One time, she got a casserole dish, and she chopped up the leftovers from Sunday, sprinkled them in the bottom of the casserole dish. She grated some cheese and sprinkled grated cheese over the leftovers in the casserole dish. She took some cream of mushroom, poured some cream of mushroom over the grated cheese that was in the casserole dish, put it in the oven, served it. Shucks, that was the best stuff I ever had in my life. You know what that was? Leftovers in the hands of a master. Let me tell you something about God. He can take the leftovers, the things that we can easily discard, and remix them. Put a little of this and a little of that in his cosmic casserole dish. Pour a little cream of Holy Ghost over it. And he can still serve up a great meal coming out of a bad situation. Oh, there is treasure in this trial, and it's the treasure of hope. Hope is where you're going, not where you are or where you've been. So yeah, we don't deny reality in the name of hope. This is bad, inconvenient, and even deadly. But neither do we let reality make the final decision, because God's got a windshield of hope when we, if we, as we connect with him. In closing, a little boy was shopping with his mother. She went up the cookie aisle and he said, "Mommy, please, please for some chocolate chip cookies." She said, "No, you've had enough sweets today. No chocolate chip cookies." She went down another aisle. He said, "But Mama, please, please, please give me some chocolate chip cookies." She said, "Stop worrying me. I'm not getting you any chocolate chip cookies." He said, "But Mama," as she went up another aisle, "you don't understand. I need some chocolate chip cookies." She said, "You need a spanking, because I told you, stop worrying me about this chocolate chip cookie." She finally gets in the checkout line. As she's in the checkout line, a little boy stands up, clasps his hands, and said, "Heavenly Father, in Sunday school last week, they taught me that if I called on you, you would meet my need. I need some chocolate chip cookies, but my mama won't give me any chocolate chip cookies." The kids, the adults in back of the lady said, "Why won't that woman get her boy some chocolate chip cookies?" The mother got so embarrassed, she went back to the aisle, got a bunch of chocolate chip cookies, and put it in the cart. The little boy stood up and said, "Thank you, Jesus, for answering my prayer for chocolate chip cookies." I know some of you are afraid, you are discouraged, you're worried. You're in the checkout line. Before you check out, check up. Call on the God who wants to meet you when it looks like you've been denied your freedom, your health, your finances, and your well-being. Before you check out, check up, because you'll find out that God really does have a plan. It's a good plan. It involves your future, our future, and a hope. There's no better way to remind ourselves of hope than remembering what we're coming up on in our next broadcast, a special Easter broadcast, There's nothing better to remember that than the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that's the basis of hope, that there's an empty tomb, an empty grave, because there's a risen Savior. And to remember that the resurrection of Jesus on Sunday, coming off of a bad day on Friday, means that Friday does not have the last say. Sunday does. So yeah, we're going through a bad Friday, but let's commune over a great Sunday to be reminded that there is triumph in the trial, to be reminded that there is the treasure of hope in spite of the difficulties, because there is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can't have a living faith in a dead Savior. Praise God that our Savior is alive. And he said, remember that. Remember me, what I did and what I accomplished based on the resurrection from the dead. And so I invite you to, if you have communion nearby you or something you can use, to take a moment and grab that. And God knows your heart if you don't have the things you're used to having at church on Sunday. But the idea is to think about him. A cracker and some juice will do. And to do it with thanksgiving. That's why it's called the Eucharist. It's a time of thanksgiving. I want to say thank you, Lord. We're in a pandemic, but thank you, Lord. Thank you that it does not have the last say. You have the last say. Thank you for securing my eternal destiny. If you've placed faith alone in Christ alone, then this can't hurt you, not in any ultimate sense. It can be a bad inconvenience, but it can't be a final decision maker. So you can thank him for the hope of eternity, but you can also thank him for the help in history. So this bread is his body broken. His body was stripped bare because he loved you and me that deeply. And he said, I want you to remember me. And remember, his body, his physical frame was damaged. We're worried about our physical frame, right? Oh, Jesus Christ is concerned about you spiritually and physically. I want you to eat now with thanksgiving and remembrance of him. Now, of course, it's the blood, nothing but the blood. The blood washes away our sin. When you place faith alone in Christ alone for the gift of eternal life, the blood washes your sin. When you live a lifestyle of repentance, according to 1 John, the sin keeps being washed away. And so we stand thanking God for the hope of forgiveness, and that we don't have to be trapped in our unrighteousness, trapped in our rebellion, trapped in our strongholds, trapped in our addictions. We do not have to be trapped, because the blood is a cleansing blood. Remember him and thank him for the hope of victory in this circumstance and in your life. Because after this, something else is going to come, whether personally or cosmically, but the blood can handle it. Let's drink in remembrance of him. Father, thank you. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for his sinless birth to a virgin, his sinless life for 33 years, his substitutionary death on the cross, his bodily resurrection from the grave, his ascension 40 days later to the right-hand side of his Father, to his rules from heaven through his Spirit on earth right now, and then ultimately for his return to set up his kingdom here on earth. We thank you, and we thank you that in the interim, our risen Savior is ready to meet us and help us in our weakness, from his throne there to our need here. And we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Somebody just open up your mouth and just bless the Lord. Father, we love you, Jesus.
We love you, Jesus. Come on, say, I will bless the Lord.
Say, I will bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all. And all that is within me. Bless His name. Oh, Lord, we bless Your name.
Just brag on Him. Let's say this. He has done great things.
Say with me.
Come on, open up your mouth.
He has done great things. Say He has done great things.
Yes, You have.
Just open up your mouth and shout the name Jesus.